This is Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon. I'm Isa Reinemann, and you're listening to Radio Energy. Today, the Scottish Government has outlined details of a deposit return scheme for recycling in Scotland. Meanwhile, the election campaign is in full swing, and we'll give you the latest from the campaign trail. We will also take you to Edinburgh's North Leith constituency. Additionally, we're talking about the three key players in the Scotland national football team that have withdrawn from playing in the European Games. Lastly, the lion cubs at the Edinburgh Zoo have been given names by the members of the public. But how much say did they really have?
This is Radio Energy News.
But for now, we're going back to the deposit return debate. A roundtable meeting on Scotland's proposed plastic bottle deposit scheme this morning at Holyrood. Several MSPs were in attendance as experts from various sectors around Scotland came to discuss the recycling initiative. Green Party MSP Mark Ruskell believes the deposit scheme will be more efficient than our current system.
So the plastic bottle deposit scheme is a way of ensuring that bottles and also cans and glass bottles as well are returned by consumers and are then recycled and made into new bottles. I think it offers a lot of advantages over the current system where councils will collect bottles, but not all of them find their way back into being made into new bottles again.
Impact on current waste management systems was one of the many topics discussed during the meeting.
What deposit return schemes do is it takes quite a valuable part of that waste stream out, and it makes sure that that waste stream is protected and that it goes straight back into recycling again. So it means that, you know, councils will still run recycling schemes, but they'll probably run recycling schemes for items that are not included in deposit returns, such as glass jars, for example. There has been debate about whether that will save councils a lot of money, because obviously they'll have to, you know, ship around less materials, or whether it will actually cost them some money. But I mean, I think the evidence I've seen suggests that that it will actually save councils money.
Another concern is recycling company Alpro's statement that the scheme could encourage customers to buy plastic products instead of aluminium. The business warned the scheme could result in an additional 823 million plastic bottles being produced. However, Emily Ray of Zero Waste Scotland does not see this represented in international evidence.
This is part of the evidence that's been provided by stakeholders today at the committee session. We do, however, feel that a flat deposit keeps the system simple for consumers. So by having the same deposit level for all containers, no matter their volume, this gives a clear message to the consumer that it's important to return all containers for recycling. There's this also little international evidence to support concerns around material switching. A producer's choice of packaging material is influenced by a wide range of important factors, including cost and consumer preference. As a result, we expect the introduction of deposit returns to have minimal impact on packaging choice.
Labour says it plans to open the door for people to study and retrain for a significant period of their adult lives and potentially have access to up to 6 years of free higher education.
And to the team that produced this absolutely excellent report, The Future Is Ours to Learn. This is groundbreaking stuff. This is something that will enrich the lives of thousands and thousands of people in years to come if we get the chance to put these policies into operation.
Liberal Democrats have set specific plans for a £5 billion fund to prevent floods throughout the UK following Jo Swinson's visit to flood-hit South Yorkshire. Mrs. Swinson said that this fund will help resilience to ensure the heartbreaking scenes of the past week would not be repeated. Both Lib Dems and Labour have criticised the government for its handling of severe flooding in northern England.
This time, Boris Johnson waited 5 days before calling a COBRA meeting, and only after I wrote to him demanding it in the first place. We now need a guarantee from the government that the Belwyn money, the Belwyn formula money, is made immediately available to all the local authorities in areas affected by the floods.
Meanwhile, Nigel Farage has promised that Brexit Party nominees will contend in Labour-held marginal seats, despite coming under pressure from the Conservatives to step aside. The Conservatives have launched a fresh attack on what they say are Labour's reckless spending plans. Labour has yet to publish its election manifesto, but the Tories have claimed that there is a black hole in its economic policies. Labour Party says it has successfully defeated a cyber attack targeted at its digital platforms. The party said in a statement that no data breach had occurred. Here in Edinburgh, Nicola Sturgeon has demanded the next UK government follow Scotland's approach, taking real and determined action by setting a legally binding target for ending child poverty and introducing new payments designed specifically to help children living in poverty. She was on the campaign trail in Edinburgh South today. Next, we will be taking a look at one of Edinburgh's most politically diverse constituencies, Edinburgh North and Leith. SNP MP Deirdre Brock is the constituency's incumbent, while Labour was in second place in the last election. The Edinburgh North and Leith constituency has seen a rise in rent prices, encouraged by wealthy businesses building headquarters in the area and the student housing project at the bottom of Leith Walk. This is one of the issues on voters' minds in the run-up to this election. Our reporter Lilia Nikolova visited the constituency and spoke to the main candidates, including Deirdre Brock, who told her about the problems presented by short-term lets.
There are certainly a number of concerns there. Certainly the short-term letting have been a big problem that have been brought up very often by people the last couple of years, really, because rents have risen quite steeply in that time, and that obviously is having a big knock on the constituency as a whole, but in Leith in particular. We are not alone in this. Obviously, cities across the world are experiencing similar problems. But certainly, the Scottish Government is very much aware of it, and I'm sure we'll be taking action. City Council has been in close discussion with them over this issue for some time.
Traffic has been another concern in the area, caused by increasing construction work and road closures, especially due to the Edinburgh tram extensions. We spoke to the Liberal Democrats MP for the constituency, Bruce Wilson.
It's an annoyance for everyone who lives in Leith, and it wasn't our decision to push the trams this year, although we're not fundamentally against them. We thought with so much chaos, adding another big capital project onto Leith Walk while St James is still in the state is probably not the best thing for our community.
Crime is a serious issue which the constituency is attempting to tackle. Both MPs gave us their take on the subject. Deirdre Brock responded with the following statement.
From my experience, the community policing approach that has been taken in Leith and throughout the constituency and in Edinburgh generally, I think has been a huge success. To me, when I deal with the police, they're certainly well aware of issues and eager to try anything that will sort the problem out.
The Lib Dem candidate also stated his opinion on the topic.
Council cutting community police officers is probably going to lead to increased antisocial behaviour in areas. I think more police in the streets that are engaging with the community is a big deterrent. And if a community feels that its police are serving them, then you get a more receptive community to that.
Three key players have withdrawn from the Scottish football team's squad today for the European qualifiers. This comes with less than a week until the team is due to face Cyprus away. Our reporter Campbell Patterson spoke with former Hibs player Danny Galbraith to discuss the selection. He began by asking if former Scotland player Kevin Gallagher was right in his accusation that the players aren't taking international football seriously after Robertson, McTominay and Fraser announced their withdrawals this morning.
I think he has a point. I think it probably is an indication of the situation, you know, the national team are in at the moment. You compare that, you know, to the English Premier League and the players you've just mentioned to who obviously ply their trade down there. You know, I think there is definitely a feeling that club football down there takes priority. Whether that's right or not, you know, is certainly a different debate. But I do think that the progression of, the Premier League and the money and the finances and everything that goes with it has definitely overshadowed, particularly a Scotland side who, you know, have not had much success in the last 20 years.
Do you think that the reason these players are pulling out might be because we aren't qualifying and this is just to avoid any potential injuries from playing in these games?
I definitely think there's a part of that. I mean, you'd have to ask yourself the question, if these games coming up, were the difference between qualification for the Euros or not, you know, without being cynical, I don't think there would be the level of call-offs that there has been. Now, you know, you can balance that by saying that maybe these guys would have played through injury, you know, because of the importance of the game.
If you were the Scotland manager, how would you fix this problem?
So I think the problem is, you know, is much kind of deeper than just the manager being able to kind of make everything in the garden rosy. And until probably Scotland get to a level where, you know, the games are meaningful from a qualification point of view, I think it's something that a manager will find very difficult to solve.
And let's get to other news in the UK. The Conservative Party have said today that the figures of people in full-time work are at a record high. Unemployment is at a 45-year low, the lowest since 1974.
The UK's unemployment rate remains very low by historic standards. I would say the continued fall in the number of vacancies suggests that employment growth could slow further over the near term. Businesses are telling us that they're facing persistent recruitment difficulties, which are increasingly putting some of them off from attempting to hire new staff.
A haulage firm in Bathgate has gone into administration. 66 people have been made redundant after Corporate Road Solutions 24/7 Limited stopped trading. The company, which specialised in the transport of goods for large supermarkets and smaller Scottish businesses, had been facing difficulties amid challenges in market conditions and cost pressures. It's Odd Socks Day today to mark National Anti-Bullying Week. Schools across the UK invite students to show their support for each other's differences by wearing odd and colourful socks to school today. Bullying affects over 1 million young people every year, and Christine Pratt of National Bullying Helpline explains why it's important to raise awareness. Waverley Bridge will be closed to vehicles during busy weekend periods during the Christmas markets to ensure public safety. Edinburgh City Council bosses have agreed to close the bridge to traffic from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on weekends until January 5th. The family of a 4-year-old boy from Edinburgh Westerhales are raising £60,000 for a life-changing operation for their child, who contracted sepsis at just 18 months old. Toddler Jacob Kolek lost his fingers and toes due to the condition. The family are raising funds for this particular limb-lengthening operation, not available in the UK. Our final story is about the names of three lion cubs at Edinburgh Zoo, which have been revealed today after a competition in partnership with the Edinburgh Evening News. Evening News readers chose from a selection of names, all in keeping with the lion's West Indian heritage, with the final choices for the male cubs being Kishari, meaning saffron, and Kushanu, meaning fire, with the girl cub being called Mitali, meaning graceful or beautiful. I spoke with Elsa Meishman, reporter of the Edinburgh Evening News. The first thing I asked her was to tell me a bit about how this initiative came about.
We were approached by Edinburgh Zoo last week to run a competition with our readers to name three Asiatic lion cubs that have been born at the zoo. They were born in August, so they're reasonably young, but they still hadn't been named. And the zoo wanted to kind of engage the public a little bit in Edinburgh and to get local people involved in choosing the names. So that's why they reached out to us, and that's why we organised that competition with our readers.
Did you get a big response from the readers?
Yeah, I think we had quite a good response. It was about 1,200 people who answered the poll in the end, which we were quite pleased with.
Was involving the readers sort of like a nice way of interacting with the people of Edinburgh, would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. And that had really come from the zoo, that they wanted local people to be involved and to have some kind of stake, you know, in the zoo. And, you know, if local people then go and visit it and see the lion cubs, they can think, oh, you know, I had a say in choosing those names, which is quite a nice thing.
Do you know why the zoo suggested the names that they did?
So it wasn't the case that the readers could just pick any name. That wasn't really the direction the zoo wanted to go with. There were 12 names suggested by the keepers at the zoo, and readers were given a choice between them. And the reason for that, I think, is that the zoo wanted to keep the names in keeping with the kind of heritage of the lions. And they've come from India, Western India, and it's from that region that the names have come from. They're Gujarati names, and that's why the zoo chose those ones.
Do you think part of the reason they didn't want readers to choose their own names would be out of fear of a name being chosen like Boaty McBoatface?
I think that probably was the case, yeah.
Would you say that the goal or the spirit sort of behind the campaign was more commercial focused or engaging the public?
I think probably engaging the public. I mean, it's a nice way for the zoo to engage the public. It's also a nice way for the paper to engage the public. You know, we love to hear from our readers. We like our readers to be able to get involved and engage with the stories that we cover and the things that we do. So we do like to run polls and that kind of thing.
Do you think it had any part in increasing awareness of the endangered species or of the environment?
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I mean, the Asiatic lion is an endangered species. The population is declining, so any awareness that can be raised can only be a good thing.
That brings us to our traffic report. There is congestion on the westbound M80 through the roadworks, as well as on the A720 westbound from Miller Hill to Sheriff Hall. The northbound Queensbury Junction to QFC is also congested. And finally, the weather. On Wednesday morning, temperatures are expected to hit 0 degrees Celsius for the first time this year. Drivers are advised to beware of clear ice forming on roads. Despite this, there are low chances of rain until Saturday. Thank you for listening and enjoy your evening.
This is Radio Energy. Edinburgh, Napier, Radio Group. Talk, tunes, tales, and talent. From Edinburgh to you.